This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Addiction saved by the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful when you hear about God's interventions? Yes, and he'll intervene for you as he's intervened for me, as he's intervened for this author of this book. He's Anthony Marakovitz. Am I saying it right?
It's Marakovitz.
Marakovitz. Italiano or?
No, that part of my name is Austrian.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, my
mom was. I thought maybe it was Polish. Shows you what I know.
Yeah, my father was Austrian and my mom was Sicilian.
Sicilian?
Yeah.
Italiano. Hey, grazie. I like a Sicilian pizza. Hey, listen, I've known this man for a few years. Congratulations on getting this book out, Addiction Saved by the Grace of God. And I want to tell you this, folks. This is a book you want to pick up. And here's an endorsement from Dallas and Amanda Jenkins. Yes, of The Chosen. And I knew Dallas's dad, Jerry Jenkins, when he was not famous. He did the autobiography as a ghostwriter for Billy Graham, among other famous people. I met him right here in town at a little restaurant and did an interview with him years ago. All of a sudden, he goes into the Welcome Back or the Return series. Anyway, they sold
Yeah, he did the Left Behind series.
Yes. Made hundreds of millions of dollars. And when Jerry was on the phone with me recently on a show, he says, it's amazing that lightning would strike twice in the same family with Dallas Jenkins, the director, the producer, the originator of The Chosen. And, of course, Jerry is very dedicated to the Lord. Said, I haven't, even though, $100 million, still hasn't bought a jet, nothing like that. It's all about giving back. Now, so here Dallas says, oh, what a lovely book this is, exclamation point. Tony's story is full of hometown charm, enduring characters, poignant memories, and the tragedy that befalls broken humanity, no matter how precious life begins. But as you'll see on these pages, when God bends low, pulls us from the ashes, sets our feet in his wide open spaces, and teaches us who he is and how he loves, tragedy turns into triumph. And life, in Tony's words, is wonderful. That's your saying, huh?
Yes.
And here's what the book looks like. They already put it up on the screen. Thank you, Mr. Noah. He's got it up on the screen. So this is lovely. Addiction Saved by Grace. This is going to be a dramatic story. So let's pull the people in right away. Who are you? Where are you from? And how did you get addicted? Were you with the mafia?
Yeah, well, when I was 15 years old, I was an only child, born into a family with my mother, my father, my grandfather, my uncle. And I was brought up Catholic, and it was a beautiful life of growing up, but I had no brothers and sisters. And as I turned into the older ages of, let's say, 14, 15, 13 years old, and I started having friends, my mother and father would always open the house to all my friends, so that way I always had somebody to play with and hang out with because I had no brothers and sisters. So with that being said, as my life of in those younger years, I started feeling that I needed to fit in. And for me to fit in, I had to do what everybody else was doing. So as we talk about do not conform to the world in Romans 12:2, I was conforming to the world. And as a young child, I started to do what everybody else did because that's what everybody else was doing.
And then we drugs at what early age?
All right, so I started drugging and drinking with my friends at 15 years old.
15 years old, which was not uncommon. You're a little younger than me, but not uncommon in that day and age.
Yeah, that was the 70s. Say about 71, 72.
Yeah.
And that's what it was all about back then.
Yeah. You know?
And my friends, we had this fort built. And my friend used to go to his brother. We used to get all our money together, pull our money together and go to his friend. And his brother would get, we'd get Colt 45 and Boone's Farm apple wine. And,
oh, yeah, I remember Boone's
Farm. And he'd give
us
some pot, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I had to fit in with the crowd. And so I did it with them because I didn't want to, have them say, oh, don't hang out with Tony. He's not doing what we're doing. So that's how I got started.
Sure, yeah, you want to hang out with them. By the time I was 15, I was at Woodstock. But by the time, and I'm a little older than you, as I said, I was done with marijuana. I didn't like what it did to my head. I didn't like LSD. I didn't like anything that controlled my mind. But a lot of us got suckered into it. I didn't even drink till I was in my 50s, and then that got away with me, and I haven't drank now. But so I want to. So how many years? First of all, did you go to church as a child?
As a child, my mother and father brought me up as a Catholic. I went through my confirmation and communion. Actually, the father priest was a Franciscan priest, and his name was Father Michael Judge. And Father Michael Judge apparently was the fireman priest pastor in later years that died in 9/11. He was the first.
He died in 9/11?
Yeah, and it's in my book about him because Father Michael Judge was a good friend of my mother and father, and he always used to come to our house for coffee and stuff. And when I was a little boy, I used to look up to him. And he was actually my idol. I wanted to be like Father Michael. He was an awesome, awesome man. And I loved him so dearly as a child.
Shows you how small the world is. I lost my brother in that day. You always run into people and go, did you find out somebody you knew or had known was in that? I mean, there are 3,000 people, but it reverberated throughout the United States and the world of the people that were affected by that event. So I don't want to say anything disparaging about any religion. I happen to, I believe that I wish that the word of God was shared maybe in a different way in more abundance, maybe at the Catholic Church. My mother was Catholic. My grandmother was Catholic. But there are people that are born again sitting in those pews. They may not even know the terminology that they're born again. But like any church, there are those, the chaff and the wheat. There are those who are sitting there who are playing church, whether it's Catholic, whether it's Protestant, whether it's born again, whether it's non-denominational, whether it's Assembly God. You know, you've got, and it's only God knows the heart of man who has truly repented. I will say this on behalf of the Lord and whoever's listening to this. Jesus did say, make sure ye are born from above. For I wish above all things that thou were either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And, I know that when I was 29 years of age in my living room alone with Jesus, I got born again. What happened with you? So you're going to the Catholic Church, and what happens?
Well, as I get older, you know, I start moving away from church. But my mother and father always taught me that God is a loving God. And my mother taught me, don't ever blame God for anything, because God loves you so much, he would never hurt you. God might, you know, I later found out that God throws little tests at you, but growing up in my life, my mother told me that when the chips were down and things weren't going good or there was an issue or whatever, for me to run to God and pray to him to ask for his forgiveness and to help with whatever I was going through or whatever was happening around me in the world. So as a young kid growing up at 15, 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, let's get into 18 years old. When I turned 18, the drinking age dropped down to 18 in New Jersey. And by then I was away from the church, but I was still a believer in God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. All I know is I was allowed to go to my father and pray to him when things were when the chips were down. And that's what I did through my whole life. And, you know, as I got into my years of 18 years old, I started graduating to other kinds of drugs, bigger.
Such as
cocaine.
Really?
Yeah.
I never tried that. What does it feel like?
Well, it actually, when I drank vodka and snorted cocaine, I basically felt like Superman, that I could take on the world. And that became my identity.
You know, I had experimented with drugs too. The very moment I got born again, I almost feel like I didn't want to offend God. But the very moment I was in my living room, and I said the filling of the Holy Spirit, I went, "Oh, so this is why people take drugs. The drugs are the counterfeit. This is the real McCoy. This is the high that comes from God. The real high." Just amazing. I sat down in my rocking chair. I was like, so you didn't really know the Lord at this point. You're involved in drugs. Did you get involved in corrupt things with the mafia, or what happened?
Well, as I got older, I was involved with bouncing in clubs around Giant Stadium, because I grew up in East Rutherford, Carlstead, New Jersey. And I was bouncing in all these clubs around New Jersey. And then I started getting involved with one club I was working in. I got involved basically with the family, and I started becoming an earner as a drug dealer.
A drug dealer?
Yeah, I was an earner.
What's an earner mean?
I was earning money for the mob. I was a collector. I was a Shylock. And then
What's a Shylock?
You lend money.
Oh.
And when you get the money back, you have a vig on it where they got to pay interest on the money that they borrowed from
you. Can they get out of it ever?
It's hard for them to get out of it.
I borrow 10 grand from you.
Yeah.
You say, I want that back in 30 days plus a vig?
Yeah, well.
Which might be what, another $1,000 or what?
Yeah, like another couple $1,000 on top of that. And sometimes we will strong arm you into making you maybe pay double, triple
Why?
The amount of money that you borrowed from me.
Why?
Yeah, because that's how crazy we were back then. That's the type of guys that we were back then. You know, we were selfish. We were caring about the almighty green cartel.
I was talking to a guy from the cartel who was converted like you were finally, and he came out with a movie. And I said, I always wanted to ask somebody in the cartel, you know, you see him on TV, and I said, look, you got $10 million. You haven't been caught by the cops yet. Why don't you get in your little jet? Why don't you fly somewhere, sit on the beach, and enjoy the rest of your life? You got $10 million. I said, why? Why do you keep going? He says, more. Mm-hmm. They always want more. The thing about the demonic dark forces is it gives you an appetite for more, thinking somehow, you know? And then it gives you this other thing where we're partying, smoking pot and doing drugs and drinking. And these people actually think they're having a good time. You go, when were you having a good time? Was it when you were getting high? Well, no, but later on, what? When you were dancing? Well, that was kind of fun. When were you having a good time? It's all an illusion and a delusion, right?
Yeah, it's all illusion and a delusion. And basically, addiction is the addiction of more. And that's what I had. Whenever I felt good, and not knowing that at that time that was lies of Satan, the addiction of feeling good and feeling on top of the world and that being my identity, with the ego and pride, hey, look at me, look who I am. You got to remember, I was spoiled and an only child, and I always wanted to be noticed. And for me to fit in the crowds, I was a chameleon. So if I was riding my motorcycle
I was friends
with some of the Hell's Angels, because I also did some dealings with them too.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
My holiness, and this truth my soul finds.